Hey, Leading Learning listener, if improving as a learning business professional is one of your goals for 2026, make sure to go to leadinglearning.com/summit.
The Learning Business Summit is the only event laser-focused on professionals who lead and work in market-facing businesses that serve adult learners. Across 3 days online, you'll connect with peers and experts to strengthen both your knowledge and your network.
Featuring hands-on practitioners and subject matter experts, the live education sessions are designed for participation, reflection, and, most importantly, action to boost the reach, revenue, and impact of your learning business.
And because leveraging technology is essential for any learning business, the summit also includes demos of LearnTech platforms.
It all happens online January 27th, 28th, and 29th. Go to leadinglearning.com/summit to get all the details and join us for the Learning Business Summit.
Now, on with the episode.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 73 of the Leading Learning Podcast. And this is a very special episode because we're not just recording it, we're recording it as a Facebook Live session. That's a first for us. So we have not only listeners, but also viewers.
And if you happen to be listening to the podcast recording of this and you want to be able to get to the Facebook Live recording, because this will actually be recorded, we'll include that in the show notes at leadinglearning.com/episode73. Or you can go find our Facebook page for Leading Learning, which is just facebook.com/leadinglifelonglearning. And you can go there and watch the recording of this episode, the video recording. And while you're there, we encourage you to do all the great things you can do on Facebook, like the page and share it and all of that good stuff.
So welcome to everyone who is watching live. And in this episode, we're going to continue a tradition that we've started of doing an after action review whenever we have a major event. And this time around, we're going to be talking about learning technology design, or LTD for short. That was a virtual conference that we just wrapped up last week. It was held live March 1st through 3rd.
But before we fully kick into the after action review, we definitely want to be able to say a few thank yous related to the event. First of all, for those of you who actually came and participated in the event, thank you very much for doing that. That was our first big virtual conference, and it wouldn't have happened without you. To all of the exhibitors who did the virtual exhibits and also did demonstrations during the event, thank you so much to all of you. And then a special thanks to your membership for being the executive sponsor of the event, and to Compartners for being the production sponsor for the event.
We also want to give an extra nod, an extra word of thanks to your membership, who is sponsoring this quarter of the Leading Learning Podcast. You can find out more about your membership and its products and services at yourmembership.com.
And then one more thing for those of you who may be catching us the first time in this live broadcast. One thing we have started doing in the standard audio edition of the Leading Learning Podcast is to introduce a resource or a tool at the beginning of each episode that we think might be useful and valuable to listeners, and in this case, to viewers as well. And we thought one we would highlight this time was one that we actually used a little bit, or at least highlighted as in one of the sessions at LTD, and that's a tool called Padlet. And Padlet is basically kind of an online pad, basically, where you can come and you can post things, you can write things, you can put pictures, you can put video, you can put text, you know, whatever it is that's useful to you. And we had used Padlet before when we did a social learning webinar as a way for folks to post about different forms of social learning, from very informal to more formal they were engaging in. We highlighted it during the Cool Tools session at LTD and asked folks to actually post their cool tools, to share cool tools that they found were valuable in their learning and education business. So you can get actually to that Cool Tools pad that we set up by going to tagoras.com/Padlet, and that'll get you actually to the Cool Tools pad that we use during LTD, and it'll give you an idea of how Padlet can actually be used.
So now, we've promised an after-action review of LTD 2017, but first let's recap what an after-action review is. So basically, there are four components to it. So first, we want to talk about what it is that we set out to do. Second, we want to talk about what actually happened. And then third, we look at why is there a difference between what we set out to do and what actually happened, if there is a difference? And then the fourth area is that we look at what should we continue and what should we change going forward.
And so obviously this is a learning tool, and we didn't come up with it. It was, I think, really popularized by David Garvin, who's somebody who's written a lot about the concept of the learning organization. And he studied the U.S. Army's use of after-action reviews, and they use it as a tool for really learning and adjusting and figuring out how to do things better going forward. And it's something we certainly recommend to any organization that's offering, whether it's live learning events or any other kind of, you know, learning product launch that you may be putting out there and seeing how that goes. It's definitely something to be in the habit of doing as an organization. It's also very valuable just for individual lifelong learners. In fact, we'll link to a post about that in the show notes. But just as an individual lifelong learner, if you did attend LTD, you might want to do your own sort of after-action review on the event.
So that first point in the after-action review, the what did we set out to do? Well, one of the main things we set out to do is that we wanted to make learning technology design more broadly accessible. This was our second offering of this conference. We had held it as a two-day place-based event in 2016, and we had a good group of folks come together just outside of Washington, D.C., but we thought, you know, if we move to a virtual format for 2017, we thought we could reach more people, people who maybe didn't have a travel budget, who maybe would be having to travel from farther away. We had many folks who could commute in to the place-based event since we held it near DC, but we thought we could have a broader reach that would make the event and the content and the ideas more broadly accessible.
And we know that's something that certainly a lot of the organizations that are involved with us, a lot of the individuals that are involved with us are wondering about. You know, if we do a virtual conference, can we extend, can we enhance the number of people that we actually reach? So that this gave us a chance to try that out and report back. Another thing we wanted to do as part of LTD was, you know, figure out ways to involve vendors in events that go beyond just the standard, you know, kind of standing in an exhibit booth, hoping people come by and having conversations. So, you know, could we try to involve vendors in a way that might have a little bit more lasting impact, a little bit more immediate impact, and more lasting impact? So, you know, thinking through that and trying to figure out some good ways to get vendor exhibitors involved in the event.
And we felt like that was important to do because we really do see these vendors, they're these companies, the people that work for these companies, their products and services. It really is an integral part of the learning landscape in our mind. And so making sure that there's better access to the kinds of tools and resources that these vendors have available felt like a very important thing that we wanted to emphasize.
Definitely.
We also wanted to walk the walk in getting some really firsthand experience with what we've written about as being kind of a major new trend, which are virtual events. And while we've done webinars for many years at this point, we've treated those sort of as kind of pretty short, one-off kind of webinars. And so we really wanted to think about how to present a virtual conference where we were pulling together a variety of sessions. And again, because we see this as a potential avenue for so many of the organizations that we work with, we wanted to be able to have that firsthand experience with the process of setting it up, executing it, and seeing the results.
And, you know, of course, we're in the business of lifelong learning and education ourselves, and we wanted to emphasize that, not just our role, but just the idea that learning is a business overall, that lifelong learning is a business, and, you know, really put that out there as a source of identity for, you know, the people who would be attending this event. We feel like lifelong learning as a business is a very important concept. You know, it's not something that's just about money, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But we really feel that this whole market, this whole business for lifelong learning represents essentially a third sector of education, and that was something that we, you know, wanted to continue to highlight and promote as part of this event.
And so the other key point, I think, is that what intrigued us about moving to the virtual conference format is the fact that while the live virtual event held last week, March 1st through 3rd, is over, there's still this extension of the virtual conference because we will have the recordings that we'll be making available this week that will allow us as organizers to be able to see all the sessions, even sessions when we were presenting at the same time, which is a great luxury. Also, the folks who attended live last week. We'll have the opportunity to view what they missed since they had to make a choice between concurrent sessions last week. And then there's also the opportunity to still extend the virtual conference to folks who haven't even registered yet, because we will offer a recordings only option. So all of that is, again, kind of part of why we were pursuing the virtual conference format. It seems like it's a natural with this idea of space learning and the repeating and reviewing what it is that you've learned. So it seems to give us a lot of options in that arena.
And I should mention, it will be a product going forward too. We mentioned, that this is partially about, being in the learning business. We obviously did have financial goals for this as well, and we'll come back and address those a little bit in a minute too. So the next part, we've just, said what we were kind of expecting to happen or set out to have happen. And then, the next part of an after action review is to say, okay, what actually did happen? And as far as that first goal around reaching more people by taking the event online, I would say we definitely achieved that. We more than doubled the number of attendees at the event. I think we had, I don't even know if I have the final count on it, but somewhere around 250 people or so that attended LTD this year. So definitely reached a lot more people. So I think, from that perspective, certainly something happened that we had hoped would happen.
And then, as you mentioned, we were really hoping to engage vendors and make them a much more dynamic, impactful part of LTD. And I think that we achieved that to a certain level. I think having the third day, which we devoted to demonstrations by vendors, I think that was a step in the right direction. Those were very short demonstrations. We gave each company 15 minutes to talk about their products and services, and then we wanted to have a few minutes, 5 minutes for Q&A. So it went really fast, and I think different companies were better at sort of, okay, how do we whittle down our message or talk meaningfully about our products and services, but do it in such a short period of time. Now, we knew we were giving them a somewhat tough assignment to give them such a short period of time, but I also feel like it's a very valuable exercise for these companies to be able to do. If you can convey the real impact, the real value of what it is that your products and services bring, and you can do that in a short period of time, then that's going to be great. I mean, you're going to have good business there because people are going to see the application for what those companies are offering. So I think there's certainly room for improvement there. But I do think over the place-based event where we felt a little more constrained by time and space, I think the virtual conference did allow us to involve vendors more meaningfully.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the opportunity was there. And I think that's something we found out, too, just in terms of our overall experience, with the event. As you said, we wanted to kind of get our hands wet, really get into it ourselves and figure out how this all worked. And, one of the comments we made in the midst of it, which I think is, still completely valid, is that, the opportunities are definitely there. You often hear people say, well, the networking isn't going to be as good at a virtual event and a virtual conference environment. But, I mean, for the people who are taking advantage of the tools, we had chat. We had a lot going on Twitter. We were engaging back and forth with the audience using video and, taking those chat comments in and helping to kind of highlight things and get some discussion going. I think to the extent that people took advantage of those tools, the opportunities were certainly there, and to a degree that I maybe hadn't even expected going in. I mean, we didn't really quite know what to expect. I mean, obviously, we're familiar with, delivering content online, even like we're doing right now, but what that interaction was really going to be like, the opportunity was definitely there, and I think the learning opportunities were very strong, very valid. I mean, we already know from a lot of research that it's not the medium that makes the difference in learning, it's the methods, and then obviously it's the people who are delivering and facilitating the learning. And I would say, all of the presenters were fantastic. I happened to tune into a couple in particular because we were so thrilled to have them there, and that was Carl Kopp and Will Talheimer, and both of them. I mean, they know how to use the tools, and how they think about presenting and how they engage people through the Q&A, just how they're positioning things, and they're really carrying on a conversation. And I would say, It's hard for me to imagine that you would actually have a higher quality or more effective learning experience with them in the classroom than you could actually have with them in the virtual environment. I mean, they both delivered very highly effective learning experiences. I mean, it would be a different experience, obviously, in the classroom, but in terms of the effectiveness of the learning, I think we clearly saw that effective learning could happen, that effective engagement, effective networking certainly can happen in the virtual conference environment, and that was encouraging to see.
One of the other things that we really tried to do with LTD was we wanted to emphasize this idea of lifelong learning as a business. And when we talk about it as a business, we're not talking just about money and about the financials, but we're talking about the value and the impact and this idea of leading change in a field or a profession, mm-hmm. really moving that dial. And I think as part of the discussion there, we maybe ended up kind of emphasizing the role of the individual lifelong learner, maybe a little bit more than we had originally planned. But we really wanted to sort of talk about this idea of, okay, we've put together this virtual event for people in the business of lifelong learning, but those people should also be thinking of themselves and embracing this label of I am a lifelong learner mm-hmm. myself. And so that was sort of a little bit of a spin that sort of evolved in the days of LTD and certainly in the days before LTD.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely highlighted that, and to go back to the whole engagement concept as well. I mean, one thing we went into the event knowing we wanted to try to do was just to get people to share images of themselves. Mm-hmm. Engaging as groups, engaging as individuals, and that really was about images of themselves as lifelong learners. Engaging in this virtual conference environment, and we had some success with doing that. I think when we get to what we'd like to have happen better going forward, we'd like even more success with that. But that whole selfie-paced learning concept. We got people to do that. We got pictures of people. We shared those pictures. But that was all about that, lifelong learner identity. Really get into this and engage as a lifelong learner. And then, as we mentioned earlier, and to extend, your point about what happened from a business perspective, we did obviously, have financial goals for this, and we even discussed those, quite openly as part of the actual event. One of the sessions that we delivered was on how we gauged demand for learning technology design and how we set pricing for learning technology design. And that's, one of the recorded sessions that we have. We try to go about that very methodically so we could see if we did actually get the results that we were hoping for. And, for the most part, relative to, did the demand response materialize that we thought would materialize? We mentioned earlier, we definitely reached more people with the event. So we felt like the demand was certainly there. We'll talk in a little bit about, could it have been better? And then in terms of the pricing, because of the research that we did, we felt like the pricing seemed to be pretty close to right on. I mean, we got enough of a response at the pricing level that we put it out there for. And we'll point people back to the website because the pricing is still up there to reference that. But between registrations for it and then getting exhibitors involved, getting sponsors involved, right now I think we're about 95%. Of the way to our revenue goals for the event, and then we still have we're going to be introducing the recorded conference as a product as well, which is most likely going to take us at that final 5% and hopefully beyond.
So in terms of what we set out to do and then the results that we saw, that the third question that the after action review has us tackle is this, why a difference between the two if there was one? And so I think just in terms of what kind of follows on the heels of just what you were saying in terms of kind of some of the financials, but in terms of the actual attendance, I think we would have liked to see it grow even more. And so while we saw it grow, which was great, and that was certainly a move in the right direction, I think there's even more potential for further growth there. And I think we can talk about at least some ideas we have for how to grow that right. A little bit more. And I think the other thing is around the networking. And as you said, there are aspects of it that really definitely engaged learners. We had speaker facilitators who knew how to make use of the medium and still make it effective for teaching. But I think that trying to even grow that participation even more would be really beneficial going forward. And I think too that what we had a lot of last week was kind of in session commenting and mm-hmm. discussion. And I think it would be great to think about some aspects, some ways to get the learners even outside of the sessions and kind of making some of the connections from this session and that session. So sort of some overarching social interactions. And we made use of some tools. You know, you mentioned Padlet as the tool we recommended at the very beginning. And we made use of that in our session on cool tools, but I think we could pull in some things like Padlet or Kahoot. Created a little kind of quiz where you can have people come in and in a timed scenario compete with each other. And so it was a little adult learning quiz. So I think there's some things like that that we could pull in that would allow folks to interact and engage even outside the context of, you know, sessions with start and end times.
Yeah, and some of that comes down to starting a little bit earlier. I think we tried our best to get things off the ground and be planning well ahead, as I think most people who run events do. But as probably a lot of the folks who are tuned in know, you know, you end one event and then you have to go into the next event. We had ended our Leading Learning Symposium, which we do in the fall, and it really wasn't until the aftermath of that we were able to truly engage on this and start putting the pieces in place around, you know, getting the platform set up and you know, just all of the kind of pre-work that you have to do. And, you know, ideally, I would have liked to have started that a month or two earlier. You know, that's something I think that we'll try to do going forward. I think also, you know, as part of that, preparing, you know, the registration process, you know, the Comm Partner system was very good for that. And our own website sort of dovetailing into Comm Partners worked fine. But I think the way we handled organizational registrations, we figured out in the aftermath, we could probably do that and create a little less friction in the process of how that's handled. We won't go into all the mechanics of that here, but that's certainly something. We want to make this, you know, as easy a process as possible, obviously. And that kind of goes to the financial goals as well. You know, we've gotten feedback, and we'd love, you know, more feedback from anybody out there, you know, that it felt like it was an affordable event. We definitely wanted it to be an affordable event, and we want to keep it affordable going forward. You know, so that'll involve both keeping the registration at a level that's accessible to as many people as possible, continue to have, you know, sponsors and exhibitors involved, because that really helped with making it affordable. But then, of course, you know, we have to balance it against, you know, the time and effort that it takes to do this. Anybody who's put on a virtual conference knows, you know, it's not necessarily less work than putting on a live conference. It's just kind of different work. And if you're thinking about a virtual conference, you know, keep that in mind. But certainly, you know, I think we mostly struck that balance this year. We feel like we struck that balance, but we definitely want to keep an eye on that going forward and keeping that affordability accessibility top of mind for the event.
And so with that, let's move to the fourth area that we look at with the after action review, and that's what things will we continue and what will we change? I think as you've already heard us talking about, we want to definitely continue an emphasis on the social aspects. We mentioned the selfie-paced learnings where we called for those selfies of people learning. You heard us mention tools like Padlet and Kahoot. So I think continuing to kind of pull them in more consistently and in a more thoughtful way, mm-hmm. I think all of that would be something that we would like to emphasize in a future virtual conference.
And then maybe, you know, dovetailing some of those into the interactions with the exhibitors. You know, we say at the beginning, we set out to figure out a way to involve exhibitors and more than that sort of, you know, one shot, one off, you know, somebody visits the booth type scenario. You know, are there ways that we could increase interaction with the exhibitors? All of the exhibitors did live demos and got to have Q&A, you know, as a result of that. And that also gets captured as a recording for later reference, which we think is great. In the exhibit areas themselves, each exhibitor had a dedicated page where they could put in really anything, you know, documents, videos, and there was a chat function in there. I don't think a lot of people engage with the chat functionality. Would like to figure out a way to potentially promote that more, but also just, you know, how can we promote interaction with the vendors more in general, that can be such a great learning experience. You know, we said during the event, it's not just a shopping experience. You know, it's a thinking experience. It's a learning experience. Vendors really have their fingers on the pulse of what's going on out there. And so, you know, are there ways that we can, you know, maybe even make those more formal type learning experiences, more defined learning experiences? So what's going on in the exhibit booths? You know, maybe there are things like the Kahoot game, you know, might work well in the exhibit booth environment, for example. So just some good ways to, you know, really engage or to create conversation between vendors and attendees in a meaningful, productive, learning-oriented way. And that's certainly something to work on going forward.
So with that, we've covered those four areas of the after-action review that we set out to cover. And I think the main thing I want to emphasize, though, is that in some ways with the virtual conference, doing the after-action review now after the live portion is a little bit misleading, perhaps, in the sense right. of there still is this continuation. We will be releasing the recordings this week, and I know that I plan to spend time reviewing those recordings. The live attendees will have a chance to go back and review anything that they attended live. They'll have the chance to view the sessions they didn't participate in live, and then we will be making the recordings available to others for purchase. So we have all of that to look forward to. And so we may need to do another after action review at the end of May, once we've sort of wrapped up this kind of continuation and extension of LTD, because I think there's a real potential over these next few weeks to see the value proposition in our experience and some of our observations will probably change and evolve a little bit.
Right. So definitely stay tuned for more. At this point, we're going to wrap up the Facebook Live portion of this After Action review. But by a bit of editing trickery, we are still rolling on the normal audio version of the Leading Learning Podcast. And before we exit this episode, we want to thank your membership again for being our sponsor during Q1 2017. You can find out more about your membership at yourmembership.com.
To get show notes for this episode, go to leadinglearning.com/episode73. While you're there, you will see options for subscribing to the podcast. And if you're getting value out of what you hear, we would be truly grateful if you would subscribe.
We'd also be truly grateful if you'd take just a minute to give us a rating on iTunes. We would love to see more ratings over there, folks. So if you have a minute, please make a minute to go to leadinglearning.com/iTunes. That'll get you right to where you need to go. It just takes a minute, and it really makes a world of difference in our being found when people go to search on podcasts in iTunes.
Finally, consider telling others about the podcast. You can send out a tweet by going to leadinglearning.com/share. Or if tweeting isn't your thing, you can pick your social network of choice and spread the good word that way.
So thanks again, and we'll see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.